I would like to welcome Felix Neighbour from the Office for Disability to give us an update.
Hi everyone. As usual, thanks for the opportunity to come along. Just thinking about something that Fran just said, that if people are nodding, it means that they're really listening to what you say. So I'll just be looking for lots of nodding heads, or maybe I'll just be dodging the tumbleweeds. I'll just see how we go. So I'm Felix Neighbour. I'm the manager of strategic engagement in the Office for Disability. And I think this is a good opportunity to update the sector on changes within the department as well as initiatives. So some of you may be aware that the Office for Disability has changed location within the Department of Health and Human Services. So the whole of the Office for Disability is now part of what is now the Disability and NDIS branch. So that basically brings together all of the disability related parts of what the department does. And the Office for Disability will be located under a yet-to-be-appointed Assistant Director for Disability Inclusion, and will be located alongside the area that looks at the mainstream interface. So when people with a disability come to health services and decisions are made whether they get access under the NDIS or through mainstream services. So we see that as an opportunity to really look at advocacy in the context of the NDIS. And I think it's worth saying that the Office for Disability is a small but very productive office, but we're part of a much larger branch now. So some of you might know Michael Cromie, who I'm acting in his role for a while. He's agreed to come along to these forums to answer questions that perhaps I can't answer on the NDIS and the range of work that's happening to get ready for the scheme. So I think it's worth just mentioning a number of initiatives that the Office for Disability is supporting to shift attitudes and promote inclusion of people with a disability across the whole of the Victorian Public Service, or VPS. And I think it's important to reflect on these as we gear up to International Day, because I think it's really important for Victorian Government to lead the way. And I don't want to sugarcoat anything. There's lots of work to be done. So some of the initiatives I'll talk to now are really trying to address barriers that people with a disability face, low expectations, poor employment. So I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I'm just going to talk through some of these initiatives. So we had the pleasure of working with a relatively new organisation called Get Skilled Access. So they've been around for about a year, and they're co-founded by Dylan Alcott, who some of you might know. He's a Triple J presenter and Paralympian, but also ambassador for this year's International Day, and a colleague of his, Nick Morris. So Get Skilled Access ran a couple of events with executives and senior leaders across the Victorian Public Service. And that really had a focus on raising awareness and improving employment opportunities, as well as service delivery. So this was an opportunity to provide a call to action for executives in the context of disability action plans that all departments are legislated to do, and the state disability plan. And just listening to the SARU presentation, a strong theme of that was nothing about us without us, and the need to include people with a disability in all aspects of policy design and delivery. We are also running in a, there's also an event that will be for staff across the whole of the public service. So that's been run by a new network about a year old now called the Victorian Public Service Enablers Network. So that's a staff, that's a network established and run by staff with a disability across all of the departments. So they're running an event, and again, that sends a really strong message that people with a disability are at the driving wheel and influencing change. So they'll be running an event across the public service around employment. And just reflecting on what Sue was saying, we're really happy to be working with the SARU and supporting voice at the table. In terms of what we're doing in our department, it takes time, but we're slowly getting there in terms of connecting SARU up with I think what's becoming mainly health service areas, which is really positive. And we also had the pleasure of meeting with Becky, Fran and Julie from Voice at the Table about our own action plan. So that's just a snapshot of stuff we're doing across the VPS, but also just want to point out that we had a very large number of applications for a disability leadership program that Minister Foley promoted a while ago, so we're really happy about that. And that includes, that's a partnership really between Leadership Victoria and Disability Leadership Institute, so Christina Ryan's organisation, so that will really help provide a pathway for people with a disability into boards and committees. So I'll stop talking, but I just wanted to provide a bit of an update in terms of some work we're doing across the public service, and happy to take any questions. Yeah, thanks.
Any questions?
Thanks, Sue.
I don't know if you were here earlier. Mary put up a slide that looked at the future of funding.
Yep.
So my question is that 2021, that's going through till then with the disability advocacy funding for Victoria?
So this government and this minister are committed to ongoing action and investment in disability advocacy. So, that's the current government's commitment to continue to fund disability advocacy. I think I've mentioned this a few times, but a really good, I guess, document for advocates to read is the Victorian government's response to the parliamentary inquiry. So that talks about things like advocacy, but also the Victorian government's commitment to continue to provide safeguards during transition to the NDIS. So that's a really good snapshot of what the Victorian government are committed to. I'm a public servant, so sometimes it is hard for me to speak on behalf of the minister, but things like the Victorian government response, that's signed off by the minister. And also note that there was Minister Foley provided a media release around additional protections to people with a disability by expanding powers of the Services Commission on the 24th of May. So that kind of gives you a sense of where this government's at. But in terms of your question, Sue, that's certainly the current state of play in terms of ongoing funding through the Victorian Disability Advocacy Program. Yep. Yep. Yep, can you just clarify that?
Well, that's what the slide said.
I wasn't here earlier for the slide.
Okay, so the slide said the current status is 9.1 million mm-hmm. For 2017. Mm-hmm. For 2018, 9.1. For 2019, 2.9. And for 2020, 2.9.
I think it's an important distinction to when we talk about disability advocacy. That's funding that's provided through the Victorian Disability Advocacy Program, and that is ongoing funding of approximately 2.9 million. So in terms of the 6 million, I'm just trying to, would that relate to, say, information services or, okay. So information services is funded separately from advocacy. So obviously independent advocacy has a very specific role, whereas information services is what's called a separate funded activity. So there's funding for information services, which is provided to a range of organisations. I haven't got a number, but certainly more than advocacy organisations. So I think there's probably between, I'm taking a guess here, maybe 5 to 10 advocacy organisations who get funding for information services and advocacy. So, look, I don't want to under... So basically the information services funding will... it forms part of the Victorian government's commitment to the NDIS. So that information services funding will continue through to the 30th of June 2019, which might be feeding into the slides. A letter was sent to the CEOs of all organisations receiving information services, I think, in early August, just confirming that. And, look, of course, it has a big impact on organisations who get a significant slice of their funding. And I guess, look, with a scheme as large as the NDIS... It's a significant change, but not underestimating the impact on that. So the department, not my area, so this is it's not me shifting or handballing. It's another part of NDIS is looking at how to support organisations, including those that provide information services, get ready for information linkages and capacity building. So that's for a range of ways. They're running workshops, so there were a couple of workshops a few weeks ago that were definitely promoted to advocacy organisations to come along and find out about what is the current status and, you know, what can the department do to support those organisations. So that's probably all I can say on it, but in terms of the broader piece of work that's happening to get organisations ready, that's probably something that Michael might be better placed to talk about, but that's pretty much what's happening. The funding will go to 30th of June 2019, and the department's working with providers to get ready for the ILC. I want to reinforce that I understand that this has an impact on organisations, and we're just trying to work with organisations to help with that transition. Phil, did you want to add to that?
Just let me talk to
him. Yep. Oh, sorry. Yeah, of course.
Hello, everyone. My name's Philip Waters. I work for DHHS as well. I work in the ILC transition team. So I just wanted to add on to Felix's comments. We do have quarterly forums for the ILC planning. So the next one is on the 7th of December at 12:30. And the topic will be about what's the difference between LAC and ILC and how LACs can do ILC activity. So it might be worthwhile for you guys to come along to the 7th of December 12:30 workshop to find out more, or forum rather. And just going back a little bit as well, there was mention about the Victorian government continuing funding until 2019. That's right, but other states as well. Other states' governments are reducing their funding, but the Victorian government is committed to funding it. So Victoria is lucky, compared to other states, to have this ongoing funding for the next while. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Phil. So I hope that answers the question, for now at least, yep. And there's that opportunity that Phil mentioned as well for organisations. So that's promoted to, I think, our advocacy organisations, isn't it? They're on the list to get that information. I'm pretty sure they are, but we can make sure that advocacy organisations receive that information. Yep. Yep. Phil will check, but we'll make sure that you get information on that session and also future ones as well. Yep.
Hi. Hi, Felix. It's Kathy Barakas. I just wanted to know what tangible changes can we see by the Office of Disability moving to this larger branch that you talked about? What's the difference that we're going to see in terms of what you can do?
Wow, that's a big question. So the question, what tangible changes can we see with the Office for Disability moving to the branch? But what I would say, I think it's good that we have, a closer line of sight to the NDIS. So, it makes it easier for us in our conversations with colleagues to highlight the impact of the NDIS on advocacy, but also more broadly, the role of advocacy and the role it can play to support people to transition to the NDIS. I think it's also worth confirming that the Office for Disability won't change its remit. So our remit is to work across government and across the community. So we'll continue to drive change across government and across the community. We do that in a number of ways. We have a departmental committee on senior executives that we engage with on a quarterly basis to talk about the State Disability Plan and other initiatives. And we've also got a departmental committee on disability that we engage with. So whether that be promoting initiatives such as Voice at the Table to our colleagues or across government, or working with other departments to influence change, that won't happen. But I do think that we're part of the NDIS, Disability NDIS branch, but we're also part of the branch that deal with children, family, disability and operations, so the geographic areas. So it's a bit hard for me to sort of answer a question on tangible changes after a few weeks, but I think there would be a number of opportunities. Yeah.
Any other question? No?
Going, gone? Yeah. I feel bad for taking the self-advocacy network's time now. You could have got cracked on for another 5 minutes. So, yeah, all right. Don't tell her it's my fault. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Felix. It's really important to have the Office for Disability here at our forum to answer any questions you have. So we really appreciate the time you've taken today. So before we close, there are two things I need you to do. On your table will be a questionnaire about feedback for today. Anything positive or negative you can give us will really help inform our planning. And also, this morning, we asked you to fill in the questions about what you would like DAWU to focus on from 2018 to 2021. So jot down any thoughts you have. Also, because we're super organised, we've already planned the next advocacy sector conversation in February. It'll be on the 15th of February, so pop it in your diaries. And it's a back-to-school forum where we're going to talk about everything education. And I think Natasha will open registrations in the next week or so. So pop it in your diary and make sure you register, because there will be no update sent out in January. Okay, so thank you to everyone who came and contributed today, and thank you to all our amazing presenters. You were awesome as usual. Thank you to everyone who joined us on the live stream. And thank you to Niaz and Tony from VicDev for operating the special equipment there. And our Auslan interpreters, Michael with the sound, and the staff at Queen Victoria Women's Centre. Safe travels home and happy Christmas.